Hey guys, welcome to the Faith and Field podcast. I'm the host, Grant Benson. If you haven't already, check out episode 0 to hear my story. The mission of the Faith and Field podcast is to give all athletes a platform to share their testimonies and experiences of what God has done in their life. My hope is that God will reach athletes who need to hear these stories in order to strengthen their faith and enable their athletic journeys. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and give us a follow on Instagram, faith_N_. We're active on Instagram, so give us a DM, let us know what you think, or even a prayer request. I pray that this podcast will be a good representation of Christ. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Hey guys, thank you for listening to the Faith and Field podcast. This is episode 7. Today I had the honor to speak with one of my favorite personal friends named Jerry Gallegos. Jerry played D2 baseball for Colorado Christian University. You'll hear his story of growing up passionate about baseball and basketball, and ultimately seeing God's favor in the sport of baseball. You'll hear about his journey of wanting to change the culture to earning the right to share the story of Jesus with his teammates at CCU. You can follow Jerry on Instagram at JG_fitness5. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Let us know what you think on Instagram. Enjoy episode 7, Jerry Gallegos. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the Faith and Field podcast. Appreciate you guys subscribing and following on the Instagram page. Today is episode 7 of the Faith and Field podcast, and I'm blessed and honored to bring on my friend, former student, but now friend and brother in Christ, Jerry Gallegos Jr., aka the real Gallegos. If Sammy, you're out there, shout out to Sammy Gallegos. But let's just be honest, Jerry Jr. is the real Gallegos. So, anyways, thanks for coming on, Jerry. Appreciate you taking time out of your day and just chatting about what's going on in your life and how Jesus has impacted you throughout your playing career. So, without further ado, Jerry, give it up for Jerry.
Thanks, Mr. Benzel. I appreciate you having me on here. I love what you're doing with this podcast and how you're intertwining both athletics and faith and everyday life. It's very, very important. So very awesome to be here. I met Mr. Benzel back in
2007, I think. 2007.
Was I in fifth grade? I
must No, 2007, you were in seventh grade, I think.
Okay, yeah. So seventh grade. And Mr. Benzel was our new PE teacher at the time. And we hit it off right away, for sure. And so I had a great time in his class. And then he started mentoring me and really laid down my foundation for my faith at a young age of really, really what it was to be a man of Christ. And I guess in addition to that, just the expectations of what it looked like to be a man of Christ. And so that was something that I greatly appreciated looking back, and it's really helped me even to this day. But shortly after seventh grade, I'd moved from Seattle to Phoenix, Arizona, and which was a good move for me and my family. I really was excited because I was playing a lot of basketball and a lot of baseball at the time. I guess you could say I was not the most athletically gifted kid at the time of middle school. I was a little shorter, wasn't as fast as I was in my college career, but I would say I was playing a lot more basketball at the time than baseball. When I moved down to Arizona, that was when I started to grow. I hit a growth spurt, started to mature a little bit, and that was when God kind of placed in that time baseball in front of me, and that was when I started to take off with it. But even at that point, I was never a recruit, or I was never an athlete that just had people coming to my door, sending me emails, letters, saying, hey, we want you, we want you. I felt like I was always just an average, you know, an average athlete. And so I kind of longed for that. I longed for that to be wanted by a big school, just like every athlete does. That's the dream, to go play at that next level. But during that time and how my parents had raised me, basically my dad, growing up in corporate and being the hardworking guy he is, he's like, hey, you know, you gotta put together a recruiting profile. You gotta email coaches. You gotta go out of your way and do those things if you want to be noticed. And, you know, let's just be realistic. You don't throw 90 miles an hour. You're 160, about 5'10" as a junior in high school. And so there's one school that kept popping up, and that was Colorado Christian University. And I turned them away pretty quick, even though it was a Division II school, and they had expressed they had interest in me and pretty early on. And God having the plans that he does, CCU kept popping up and kept popping up. And so their recruiter at the time, he does the announcing for the Colorado Rockies. His name's Jerry Schimmel. He has a great story as well. He was at one of my games, and he was recruiting another one of my buddies. And my buddy, that buddy texted me that night and said, hey, this guy from Colorado Christian's here watching me. And like, just walking back, I was like, man, you know what? I said, I should reach out to this guy. And so I texted him, got his number, and the rest was pretty much history. He came to my next games, and I ended up accepting a scholarship up at Colorado Christian. Played 5 years up there. I was injured my very first year. I actually tore my labrum pretty badly the summer before I was supposed to report in fall. And that was pretty detrimental to me, but it was a huge development area in my life at that time that I really needed. And so after the course of that, I rehabbed, got better, stayed on track with school, ended up getting my master's, and ended up setting 5 offensive records during my time there at Colorado Christian, and ended up, and even more importantly, walked away with some guys that are just my most absolute best friends, and was able to keep my faith through the entire thing. Met my wife, who's on the volleyball team, and we are still here in Denver, Colorado. And I actually took a new job. I've been in roofing for probably 3 to 4 years. But recently was able to take a role into something that I'm truly passionate about. And I'm now a general manager of a gym called Core Progression Elite Training. So I'm able to run my own gym now because fitness is a huge passion of mine. It changed my course of college. It's really helped me reach a hand out to certain people and help guide them live a healthy lifestyle, just because I believe that is so unbelievably important. And so I feel like that's why God truly has me here, and I'm able to utilize that and use my platform on Instagram. I help write programs and help people with supplements and things like that as well. And so that is where I am at currently.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Thanks for that kind of a cliff note journey through your life. But I want to kind of go back a little bit, you know, to like, you know, little baby Jerry. You know, so you, so talk about like your home, your upbringing, like family life, like, you know, we evolved with, you know, church as a family, like how did you initially come to know the Lord? You know, was it like, you know, early on, or did it come later in life? Like, maybe just kind of share your story about how you became to know Jesus, and then maybe when it became like your own faith, like when it became something that you knew you owned, that you could, you know, stand firmly on, that you actually knew what that meant to be a follower of Christ.
Absolutely. So my story is, you know, I don't have this huge, you know, detrimental moment or anything like that, like a lot of people, you know, like in college. I mean, mine was pretty where I recognized that, or like where I made my faith my own, was at a young age, which I'm very blessed that God had it that way. And but basically, I was raised in a Catholic home. Both my parents were raised Catholic, so it was always known that we were always going to church on Sundays. That was a very normal thing for me and my family. I would say that it was nothing personal, like for myself, as far as, you know, relationship goes. I knew every reading that was going to happen. I knew like when to sit, when to stand. Like I was pretty much like a good Catholic church goer, I guess you would say. So like that was like my very first interactions with religion. And my parents, it was one of those things that was a non-negotiable. Like we were going to go to church. It was a part of our lives. That was what we had done. It wasn't until my parents was making the switch from a public school to a private school, which was when I eventually transferred over to Cedar Park in fifth grade. And looking back now, being in fifth grade and being so young and being able to connect the certain dots with the Bible, the New and Old Testament, it's really a true revelation of what the Holy Spirit does and what it's capable of, or what he's capable of. And so that was when I really started to take Bible classes and actually understand like, hey, there's a bigger meaning behind, you know, just getting up early on Sundays and attending service. There's something more to this. And so I started, my very first teacher at Cedar Park, Miss Christensen, she was so awesome. And when I was starting to take Bible tests, I became more interested in that. As far as, you know, and I'm a huge history person, so like actually getting context and learning about the Bible in school was really enlightening to me. And that was the very first time I realized that I needed to make my faith my own. So God was slowly, from when I was, I mean, since I was born and around my family, God was slowly revealing himself to me at an extremely young age, and that slowly started to progress. And so you fast forward about two more years forward to seventh grade, and I had a friend who, after transferring schools, I still played a lot of sports with a bunch of my buddies from that school. And one of my friends at the time, Parker Moore, he was having a baptism. And so, you know, being Catholic, like I know what baptism is, but I thought it was kind of weird because I thought it was just for babies. So I was like, you know, we'd love to, you know, go to your baptism, me and my family. That'd be cool. And so we show up, and my family growing up in a very traditional Catholic church, you know, we roll into a Christian church setting of Woodinville Alliance, and there's music going. It's this upbeat time. Everyone's super excited. And I'm not gonna lie, my parents were just kind of like shocked. Like we were like, this is so different. This is not what we had expected. But he invited my family there. And I think that was the first time I experienced, other than I would say outside of school and Bible class, kind of experience what the Holy Spirit felt like in a sense of worship and celebration and like a different meaning of baptism. I eventually later that year went to a summer camp through that same church. My friend had invited me again, and we spent a few days out in Wenatchee, Washington, out by a lake, camping out, doing all these fun events, worshiping. And there was eventually an altar calling. And that was when, like, I just felt the biggest tug on my heart. And my family had been going through some tough times at that point. And so I was really at a point where, you know, God was really reaching his hand out to me like he always does. And I just felt this huge urge in my gut and in my heart that I just needed to go all in. And that was officially the first time that I had accepted Christ into my heart. And I'll never forget that feeling to this day, even as a seventh grader, just being born again, being washed completely of everything. And it's just the most free feeling in the world. I still have that date tattooed on my chest. Actually, me and my sister accepted Christ on the same day. We were both at that camp. And so that is something that is a huge reminder. And that was where it ultimately all started for me.
Dude, that's awesome. Like,
such a great story, and I can relate to, you know, going to, you know, because I was raised Catholic myself. My mom, you know, my mom took, you know, drug my dad and the rest of the family to church on Sunday, and, you know, shared a little bit on my testimony in an earlier podcast. But, you know, I just remember when I got to school, because the first time I was, I went to some events, like Christian events, like with some of my buddies that invited me, but it wasn't necessarily it wasn't like a church service. It was just more of like an outreach type of thing. So, you know, inflatables, you know, all the stuff, like winsome games, like, you know, icebreaker games, stuff like that. So, but when I went to like an actual church with like one of my friends in college, when he invited me to come to church with him, like, I was like, electric guitar, like words on a screen. Like, I don't know how to, when do I stand? When do I sit? They're like, no, dude, it's not like that. Like, Pat, like, oh, where's the priest? Oh, we don't have priest. There's a pastor up there. Where's his uniform? Oh, he's up there right there. Like, that's him, like in the polo and jeans. And so, like, it was a huge shock to me, because outside of that bubble, like, I had no clue, like, that was even a church thing, you know? So it made me feel uncomfortable from my own walk to, like, remember not wanting to go back, because it was so weird to me. Did you, you mentioned a little bit, like, you don't have to touch all the way into it, but at that time you said your parents were, you know, or you got your family's going through a rough spot, and, like, so did you guys leave the Catholic Church together, or did you continue to go through, like, because, like, for me it was super awkward to, like, not be in a Catholic church setting almost, but I almost didn't want to be there because I did not like the traditions of it, I guess. So for me, it was like, I was so awkward and uncomfortable at like the Christian church that I almost didn't want to go back, because it was just, you know, not what I was used to.
Right. Well, it was, so some of the family things we were going through, and I know they'd be comfortable with me sharing this, but my mom and sister were going through pretty bad eating disorders at that time, which was pretty tough on our family. And I ultimately believe that was one thing that really pulled me into, you know, eventually accepting Christ. But, you know, to answer your question, it was, we knew, so it was me and my sister who eventually were trying to get my mom and dad to be like, hey, on Sundays, like, we would love to go to a Christian church. We would love to go back to Woodinville Alliance and go back to those services. We feel like we're getting a lot out of that. We feel connected with God. We feel, you know, all those things. And so we initially had that conversation with my mom. And again, like, my family has grown up in generations of Catholicism. So this is really breaking the stride. So eventually, you know, coming home after all the Bible lessons and this and that, and just having those, like, I guess, subtle conversations, it never was a sit down, like, we're not going to the Catholic Church anymore. Like, again, like, our faith is based around love. And so, you know, we knew that early on. And so we just would start with subtle conversations, talking about what we were learning in Bible class, like, why it made sense, things like that, things that we really enjoyed at Cedar Park, like the worship, like some of the activities that the Christian church was actually doing. And so my mom was actually the first person who we got to start coming to Woodinville Alliance with us. And so once she started coming, that kind of, like, we really needed that. Not that, you know, and again, I totally understand why my dad just would not jump 2 feet in. I mean, they were devoted Catholics at the time. And so there was a point when even my dad was doubling up on services. So he'd go to Catholic church and then the Christian church with us. And so that slowly started to happen. And then it slowly, I mean, it was really smooth sailing right from there, but it was never a distinct moment. We never put our foot in the ground. We never did anything like that. It didn't seem like it at the time, but I definitely think it was a smooth transition, and it was exactly probably how I would have predicted that it was going to happen. But I definitely think it started just off of subtle conversation and things, learning in depth about the Bible and being able to talk about those things as a family, and then slowly making those transitions over, and then going to church camp and all the things that we had experienced through them. I mean, when you come home from church camp and you've accepted Christ and you're trying to explain that to your parents, and it's the most excited you've ever been about God or religion or relationship, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that really opens people's eyes, and opened my parents' eyes, I think. So
yeah,
I really think that, you know, again, it was a smooth transition, but I think our actions, what we were learning, and ultimately how we went about it was what got them on board, but it was never anything out of rebellion. It was definitely out of love.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, there's some families that, like, you know, conversations, you know, even, you know, kids that have come through Cedar Park, or even just friends that I know that have left the Catholic Church and the family traditions, and, you know, it's just so hard for them to understand. Like, it took a little bit for my mom to understand, like, me having a relationship with Christ, and she kind of felt almost like a failure, almost like she failed as a mom to try to instill those in her. And I was trying to tell her that, not like, you didn't fail as a mom. It's just, I mean, you did what you needed to do, but it just became something that I made a decision for my own life, my own faith journey, to accept Christ in that way, and to seek church that I can find that out. And so, you know, over the years, like, I feel like I've kind of been the spiritual leader in my family just because of that. I've noticed that, you know, even like my mom, you know, is just different, you know, around it, and the way that she, you know, verbalizes, but she still continues to go to the Catholic Church because that's like what she knows and what she is used to, you know. But
for anyways, sure.
So let's kind of flip a little bit, but kind of stay kind of childhood time. So, you know, little Jerry running around, you know, baseball, like, really early, or do you find that off? You said you played a little basketball. Was there anything else that you were interested in, like, growing up, as you were coming up as a little youngster, not really sure what what your passions are yet? Like, so just kind of explain, like, how you got involved with baseball, or even other sports, and in the direction of, and how that kind of played into you. Because for me, like, my dad was a semi-pro baseball player, and so baseball at a young age was something that I was going to do. So I was, like, right off the bat, t-ball. And then I was always a bigger kid, so, like, you know, even when I came, like, in third grade, I remember walking on to my, like, Bear Creek Elementary. Oh, yeah. Like, and so my teacher, shout out to Mrs. Donaldson, she's still teaching, I don't know how, like, 30 plus years, but anyways, I remember going there, and she went to UW, and the first thing she said to me was, like, I can't wait for you to play for UW, like, on Saturday afternoons. So, like from a young age, it was like football was my identity in there, because, you know, she always talked about that. But, you know, my dad never played football, but, you know, and then track and field came a little bit later in life. But maybe kind of talk about, like, your sports journey, you know, from when it started.
So my parents didn't really grow up. Well, my dad grew up playing basketball. My mom grew up, and she was actually a tomboy. I don't know if you knew that or not, but my mom was always, like, playing soccer with the guys and this and that. And so I have this blend of, I think, athletic ability from my parents. None of them really played competitively. My dad would basketball towards high school, but what was different about me was I was left-handed. Mm. Like, I threw and I did everything left-handed, and there's nobody in my family that is left-handed. I think I have an uncle that golfs left-handed, and that's about it. So my parents, very early on, they put me and my brother and sister in pretty much every sport possible. So I played soccer, basketball, and baseball. So we did those things, and that is as far back as I can remember. I was always cycling through seasons, was always getting ready for the next one, but there was never a day where I felt like it was forced. I absolutely loved it. It was great. What are we playing next? Well, up in Seattle, I was playing soccer, baseball, and basketball. Soccer was the first to go. Just didn't really like it, and that was mainly because I was at the time when club basketball was a huge thing, you know, AAU and all that. And so I had, and I think it's still there. Is home court still there in Woodinville?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I started going to home court a lot for camps and drills and this and that. And I was doing pretty well with all those things. And so I started to actually play a lot of competitive basketball. And that was when I also started playing a lot of club baseball. But I remember basketball was what I really loved. I enjoyed it. I had a really tough club coach. He was very old school. We ran. We would walk into the gym, and the very first thing we would do is he would put down at Leota or Timbercrest, wherever we were at, he would lower all the hoops. And the first 10 minutes of every day, we would run in a circle for 10 minutes trying to touch the net. As like sixth graders. So we'd run. So like you would run and try and touch every net on the hoop. So six hoops, we were running in a circle. So he was very much like that. He was the coach who was, oh, we're not the biggest, but we sure as heck are going to be the most conditioned. And you hear that the first day and you're like, well, here we go. So I played competitively there and I loved it. It was good. Baseball at the same time, this was kind of more so up towards like eighth and ninth grade or seventh or eighth grade, I would say. And I mean, my body was not maturing like a lot of people. I was short. I was starting to get a little thick and my days at point guard were starting to look a little slim for myself. And I'll never forget this too. And even when one of my club baseball scrimmages, my dad and I, we still sit back and we laugh at this, but one of my club baseball scrimmages, there's a play of me hitting a ball in the gap. And I remember the play thinking, and this is when the bases are moved back from 60 feet to 90 feet. And that's a huge jump at that age. Like you feel like you're running 10 feet compared to like 100 feet. Like when they push those bases back, it feels like it's insane. So I remember hitting this, like in my head in that moment, I thought I was cruising along the bases. Let me just say that. And so I end up getting a double. I'm like, man, the bases are pretty far, but man, like I felt like I was cruising. And then we're, as a team, we were like watching this video and I was watching myself run. And I just sat there and I said, oh man, I said, I am slow. I am slow as can be. And so again, just like, it's just what, it's like what everyone goes through. I mean, everyone goes through that growth spurt stage at different times. And so when I had moved, it's actually really funny because as I moved from Washington to Phoenix, I was still battling that and I was starting to grow out of it. I was starting to grow. I was getting taller. I noticed I was getting getting really lean. And my baseball coach down in Arizona was actually Bill Swift, who pitched in the major leagues for a good amount of time. And he had a great coaching staff. And I just remember trying out for their team. And it's a very basketball heavy school. My high school was down there, kind of like Cedar Park, I would say. And so I was trying out for the baseball team. And Bill Swift, basically, after the tryout, he just came over and he just handed me a varsity jersey and a JV jersey. And I was like, okay, this person sees something in me that I don't really see. And he goes, how would you like to swing and play JV, suit up for varsity, and I'll get you in there. I think you can help us right away. And I said, that's pretty cool. And I remember coming back because I couldn't even drive yet. I was coming back to my dad's car in the parking lot and he saw the two jerseys and he just was standing there looking at me like head tilted. He goes, did you make varsity? I said, I think so. I said, he gave me two jerseys. So, and so at that point I was doing both. I had actually broken my wrist playing freshman basketball that winter. So that had happened that spring with baseball. That winter, my wrist was broken, and I had to sit out that whole year, and things were very competitive, and I lost my passion for basketball at that point. For anyone who's, like, playing multiple sports, if you're wondering if you were still passionate about a sport or not, let me just come forward and just say, if you don't like going to practice or you don't like working on the sport outside of games, then you should probably stop. Cause that's the point that I got to with basketball. I have all the love for the game and all of that, but I just completely, I didn't like working for it anymore. And I loved taking swings. I loved working on baseball, and that's how I knew. And so God made it pretty evident and clear. Snapped my wrist, taking a charge, sat out the whole year, kind of got behind. I ended up telling the basketball coach, hey, I'm, you know, going to be doing baseball. And so that was how eventually I kind of went into that route. So that was how it happened. And that's how each sport kind of faded off.
That's interesting, you know, to think about, you know, being multi-sport, trying what, you know, different things and what you like. But talk about a little bit, if you can, just like mm-hmm. you touched on a little bit, but you know, for me, I played baseball at a young age. By the time I got to high school, I was just so burnt out. Like, I didn't want to play. Like, I played multiple leagues. I mean, I'm just pretty sure the same as that you did. Like, you know, I played fall ball, you know, during football season, like winter training during basketball season. And then in the spring, like when I was playing for my junior high team, I'd also be playing on like, you know, another, you know, traveling team. And then the summer it was like loaded with baseball. And it was fun for me, but by the time I got to high school, like I just like did not want to play any more baseball. So maybe talk about for you, you know, how did you keep that passion? Like what, you know, what was driven? Cause I mean, not to put words in your mouth or to ruin the story for people who are wondering, but it honestly is a God-given gift that he gave you to want to be, to play baseball. Like it wasn't for me. Like I feel like, and I didn't know the Lord back then, but thinking back, I was like, obviously that was part of my plan, but maybe speak to that. Maybe, you know, you kind of touched on a little bit, but maybe kind of speak a little bit if you can in depth. If not, then we can just always edit stuff out. So.
Absolutely. No, I think again, baseball, if you would have asked middle school Jerry, or if you would have told middle school Jerry he was going to play Division II baseball, like he probably would have laughed in your face. I was playing so much basketball at the time, and that was what I wanted to do. And as I got older and as things start to change, that was when, and again, I briefly just mentioned it, but I started to understand that I liked putting my time and my work toward baseball. And I realized that I started to enjoy that. And I realized I started to kind of dread going to basketball practice. I didn't want to compete. I wanted to compete, but I didn't enjoy working or getting better at it. You know, I could go to the baseball field and take 100 swings a day with a goal in mind, or go out there and run sprints trying to be a better outfielder. I really enjoyed doing that. And it had nothing to do with coaches, a bad coach on the basketball side or any of that. I just think that, and it gets evident too. I mean, I was having successful baseball games more so than basketball games as well. So I think, you know, at some point as an athlete, you have to, you know, understand and realize, you know, this is where I'm excelling. And do I want to take this to another level? Do I like basketball? Do I want to go keep working toward basketball? Or do I want to take something that I'm good at and that I am passionate about, and let's amplify that and let's take it to another level? And now that's very different for me as an individual. If I have kids someday, I want them to be multi-sport athletes. I want them to love playing multiple sports, mm-hmm. right? I would say that to anybody. But for me personally, I just genuinely loved working at baseball. And that was when I saw those paths really start to mesh into one and mm-hmm. be like, I'm supposed to be playing baseball. Yeah. And I'm glad I did. And because and I'll tell you that at the college level, it continued to amplify for me. And I continued to love working on it. And I continued to love that grind of the off season and training and working out and working on my craft. And then by the time it got to games, man, I was pumped. And I just couldn't see myself doing that with basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So little Jerry you know, little junior high Jerry, 5'2", 365 pounds. I mean, I'm just kidding, man. It was not really. But little Jerry, you know, starts to lean out, is swinging as a freshman on a pretty competitive baseball team in high school. Ultimately, probably starting at some point, 4 years later, you know, colleges are looking at you, and then you sign with Colorado Christian College. So during that short moment of the 4 years, seeing a little bit of success, seeing a little bit of like, okay, like quote unquote, I'm kind of the man. How do you stay humble within yourself? Like, how is God, you know, how are you continue to keep God the forefront of your life? Or maybe not, like maybe talk about maybe some struggles that you had, if you had any, about allowing Christ to still be the focus of your life and having that passion that you had back when you came home from camp in seventh grade.
I would say, and I actually, I just put a post up on this on my Instagram of the importance of who you surround yourself with. And that is something that I think we take for granted. I know I've taken for granted at times, but I had somebody ask me that, you know, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay motivated in your faith? How do you stay, you know, driven to keep working or working out, whatever it is? And so the importance of surrounding yourself with the right group, with the right people, is so important. And I think we take that for granted a lot. So my friends growing up, even though we didn't know it at the time, but I was around such a good group of Christian guys, especially in high school. And my coaches, my high school friends, and that was, I think, a huge reason why I switched from baseball to basketball as well, was that there was such a good foundation of faith, sports, and community on that team. And Bill Swift did such a good job of that, where all the work that went into it just seemed meaningless because we were having Bible studies. We were having things that allowed us as teammates to be transparent and to be open with each other. And in the end, it really helped me grow into the man that I am today. And so you're going to have teammates and you're going to have guys that are not always going to be on track or, you know, view the same things that you view, especially at the college level. But even at the high school level, as you are in that developmental stage, you know, I just hope that, you know, at a place like Cedar Park specifically, you know, you have Christian coaches and mentors that are there to help you out. I've had great conversations and I'm still good friends and stay close with my high school coaches to this day. And another one of my high school coaches was Tim Salmon, who played for the Angels. And he was a guy who, again, MLB experience and all that. And I think a huge thing for me was those guys playing at the major league level, Bill Swift playing at the major league level, winning a gold medal with Team USA. Those guys at practice would openly just say, hey, look, baseball's not going to last forever. You guys are going to have families. You guys are going to have girlfriends here in high school, and we want you to respect them. We want to raise you guys first and foremost to be men of God and to be strong men. And that was their goal. And so when you see when I had a coach or had coaches that had been at the pinnacle of the sport that I was playing saying, hey, just to let you guys know, like, this isn't everything. That was a really big eye opener for me. And on top of that, they had created an environment where as teammates and friends, we were close. We were doing Bible studies and things like that together. And it was really probably, I mean, and going, we actually went on mission trips as well. That was something really cool. Mm-hmm. And so those things really helped you keep on track. Now, I had experienced, you know, my first real relationship in high school as well. I'll say it wasn't, you know, as Christ-centered as it should have been. And so I had buddies that had spoken to me about it and things like that. So that accountability was also super important. But again, that comes back to my main point of you completely are who you surround yourself with and And that's with your coaches too. If you were choosing to listen to your coaches and your teammates, your captains, whoever that is, I mean, you really truly are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice for anyone out there, you know, just trying to figure out like how you can't do it on your own. Like, you, I mean, it's so tough, but we need community. We need good community around us to help us keep accountable and challenge us. And to also mentor us in that way. And I spoke to it in a former podcast with Maggie Malone and talked about this idea of understanding that we all need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in our life as we mature into our faith. So the Paul aspect for you was like your coaches, like Bill Swift and for Tim Salmon, who are guiding you, teaching you, giving you wisdom. And then your Barnabas are your teammates who are keeping you accountable and doing those things. And then a Timothy, when you get to that point, is someone that you're also kind of mentoring in that way. So as a senior or even upperclassman, like those are the underclassmen people that are underneath you that you're trying to live out that life that you keep talking about to guide them, to give them that wisdom in that way. And I feel like that, you know, that's so important for us as Christian, not only as athletes, but also as Christian men and women, to be able to surround yourself with those people in that. And so, but yeah, that's good, man. Whoever you surround yourself with is so important with your walk with Christ and how to keep yourself accountable and humble in those situations. You touched on a little bit. So you, the scout comes to watch one of your buddies play. Mm-hmm. You know, you email him. You talk about like sending your own tapes and not necessarily, thinking that you were going to play baseball. Were you thinking that you were going to play baseball at the next level? Like you wanted to, or did you think that was going to be a possibility, or what was that like?
I made up my mind my junior year, and I talked with my dad and I just said, you know, he said, you know, do you want to play at the college level? Like, I'll help you out as much as I can. It's going to be hard work. Again, you're not a guy that's, you're left-handed, but, you know, you don't throw 90, 95, so you're not going to have people, you know, knocking at the door. And I said, I want to play college baseball. And from that point forward, we had said, all right, let's see what we have to do. And so it wasn't until CCU – kind of came around, I'd say my early senior year. And at this point I decided to go to a junior college because junior college baseball is a great route, great avenue. I knew junior college was going to be tough. It was not my first choice. I always said, you know, before your school gave me an opportunity to play and had my major that I wanted to study, then like you should highly consider it. That's what you should want to do. You should have a place that you can call home, Christian school, all that. And so when CCU came around, it wasn't until that scout had come around April of my senior year. So I was getting ready to go walk on at a junior college. I was like, I'm going to go to Southern Nevada. I'll go walk on there. And what was funny was after that game specifically, I remember walking out because there's one way in and one way out of our field. I remember walking out and there was this guy and he just looked like a scout. You can pick a scout out from a mile away at a baseball game, but he had the look. The guy just looked important. And so I remember walking out with my girlfriend at the time and the guy was looking at me and I kind of looked at him. I just said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And "Good, how are you?" "Good." And I remember walking past just thinking, "Man, like just I wonder who that was." And that was when I had texted my friend, and my friend was like, "Yeah, this guy, Jerry Schimmel, he's at the game, yada, yada, yada." So I had texted him, actually, and he said, "Well," I said, "Hey, I haven't committed anywhere to play, just kind of hear, you know, what you have to offer. I've looked at CCU. I've had a buddy that's gone there before. You know, just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts." And he said, "Well," he said, "First of all," he goes, I think you can help us right away and you can come in and play right away. But a bunch of the parents in the stands told me you were already committed to a junior college. And I said, "No, it's not true at all." And he goes, "Well, let me come out to your next game and we'll talk." And literally the next game, I think I went like 4 for 5 with a home run, like 6 RBIs, just absolute tear. And it was after that game he offered me a scholarship. And him and my parents and me and him as well, we still chat to this day. He's like a super awesome Christian guy, but he has, like I said, he has quite the story of faith too. He survived a plane crash and helped save some people. It's an incredible story. Yeah. That's but crazy. If it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be at right now. I don't know, because I would have torn my labrum and I would have gone to a junior college, which is very cutthroat, and there's no way I would have been able to make playing an outfield spot without being able to throw. So I don't know where I would be right now.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, to think about, like, you know, how God kind of aligns everything, you know, for that purpose and for us. You know, we don't always see it right away. It's not always there, like, when we're in the moment. But, like, when we are, you know, afterwards or kind of thinking back to it, like, we always kind of tend to think, oh, that was kind of a God moment. You know, that worked out. Because, yep. You know, what happens if Jerry, you know, doesn't injure his wrist in basketball and tries to play through it, even though you don't like it? You know, the time that you spent doing that would have taken time away from preparing yourself for baseball, or even, like, you know, not considering texting, you know, the scout and going to, like you said, going to the junior college and playing baseball. And, you know, just, it's just amazing when we think back just how God's hand is in our life. And it's just amazing just the people that he puts in our lives to help us along the way. So, yeah, that's such a cool story. So let's kind of get into, you know, your time at Colorado Christian. So you come on, you know, you're coming from high school, which, you know, you're a big dog. You know, everyone knows who Jerry Gallegos is, you know, and, you know, you're the guy. And you're heading into Colorado Christian as a kid who, you know, you know, has a scholarship to go play there. And then, like you said, you get injured. So walk us through kind of where you're at mentally, like what's God doing in your life at this time? Like, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure to try to show out, you know, and try to get back. You know, what kind of keeps you going? Like what's going through your mind, if you can remember back then? But I'm sure that was pretty humbling.
I literally showed up that fall of my freshman year with my labrum already torn, so just not really knowing and having to tell the coaches that right out of the gate, that's tough. I mean, as an outfielder, you don't want to be like, hey, I can't throw, I think I tore my labrum, XYZ. But at that time, I think the biggest thing that I was, you know, concerned about, or that I had told myself, was just control what you can control. And a saying that me and my dad had always laughed and joked around, but was very true with the game of baseball, was if you hit, you play. No matter what level you're at, it doesn't matter what, if you hit, you're gonna play. They'll find a spot for you to play. So here's me not being able to throw, can still run and do everything. And I wasn't this, again, I was not this monstrous hitter, even out of my small Christian high school. You know, I was, you know, a second team All-State guy, but nothing that would, you know, make your jaw drop. So going into college that fall, I basically had said, you know what, I have to hit. If I want to play and I want to show that I'm of some importance, like, I have to hit. And so I ended up having just a crazy offensive fall. I was playing with they always divided us into two squads, and I was batting 3-hole with the first team in our scrimmages and all this. And high school to college is different, because as a freshman, everyone there looks like your dad or like your uncle. So, like, when I was hitting 3-hole, a big power spot, and the guy behind me is a 5th-year guy who had played JUCO ball. I mean, the guy the guy looks like he has 10 years on me. I mean, it's very intense, but I loved it. And I honestly, Jerry Schimmel, my recruiter, called my dad even after that fall. And he had said, he goes, we knew Jerry could play defense, but we had no idea he could swing. Mm. And so controlling what I could control at the time was huge. And yes, there were definitely days when I woke up and I felt like I was at a disadvantage. But again, being at a Christian university and that being where I wanted to be at, our chapels were optional. I was always going to those. I was making friends with other people on campus other than the athletes, and met some other awesome Christian people that really kept me sane and were blessings in disguise. And again, I feel like God just kept placing people in my life to help me get through that time. And again, in the back of my mind, if we rewind things, like in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm at college, I'm getting my degree first and foremost, because baseball is not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And so that can be taken badly, I think, but I think it keeps things in perspective. You still want to compete. You still want to give everything your all in baseball, of course. But basically when I say that, I mean, it's not the end of the world if for some reason my baseball career ends right now. Mm. And so I didn't want that to happen. And so if that was going to happen, I was darn well going to look at myself in the mirror and say, I did everything that I could to possibly make it happen, and it just didn't happen. But that wasn't the case. But on the other end, again, like from my early on mentors, like, hey, baseball's great, we love it, but just know what's more important is what's on the other side.
Yeah, that's good, man. Like, I think that when we're in that moment, you know, and that we work towards a goal that we want to get, and the you know, kind of gets taken away from us, we don't necessarily think in that perspective of like, there are bigger and better things that are happening, you know, right, that God has for you. And I feel like, you know, and that's in anything as small as like just relationships that end, you know, with girlfriends or boyfriends, or, you know, jobs that you try to apply for that you think that you're going to get, and then you get passed up for, to, you know, having to stop playing sports. Like, your identity and who you are, the foundation of Christ, should be the only thing that matters. And the perspective of like that you have, that, you know, baseball does not last forever, you know, but other things are there. I mean, and the fact that you were so focused on like, you know, education, and that's first and foremost why you're there, I think that's a great perspective, because some people, you know, all they care about is getting that scholarship. Mm-hmm. They, you know, the pride of saying, I played college, whatever that might be, the sport. And then once it's gone, from injury or programs being cut or whatever that might be for them, then they sit there and they say, well, what worth do I have? You know, and that's what it could be bad. But
well, and anyway, I saw, too, not to cut in on you, but I think I saw there were a ton of people in my freshman class that had baseball was their everything. It was their focal point. It was their identity. It was what defined them. And so once they started seeing a glimpse of, oh no, like, I may have to compete for a spot, or this isn't what I thought college baseball was made out to be, I don't want to say their lives started to crumble, but, you know, they eventually walked away from the sport. They ended up transferring. I didn't want that. And I think, you know, and if anyone was at a disadvantage, it was me. I couldn't throw a baseball without cringing in pain at practice, you know? And so I think it's just that, again, it's that foundation of just understanding like where your identity truly is, what's the bigger picture, and kind of riding along that.
Yeah, it's interesting that you know, because I just thought about this as you were talking, but you know, the Lord wants to use those who are going to glorify his name and give them a platform in any way possible. Mm-hmm. And because that was your foundation and that was your mindset, you know, ultimately, like you said, like you weren't this all American, all state, you know, power hitter that was sought after, you know, that had this like glorious high school career, but the Lord wanted to use you in that way, you know, for either teammates to see as you were an example for them, or even like, you know, for those from afar that wanted to see, you know, how it's done. So, I'm envious of that you were mature enough in your faith to be able to have that perspective, to be able to live in that way in a mature faith like manner. Because for me, and granted, I wasn't a Christian, and I could lean on that, but you know, even so, I wasn't mature enough to think in that capacity. Even when I became a Christian, you know, at such a young age, or such an old, a little bit later in life, in college. But anyways, yeah, I think that's awesome, man. Anyway, so, you know, kind of going through the seasons, you know, as you are, you know, past your freshman year, and you become the upperclassman and new people are coming in. Mm-hmm. Just kind of talk about, you know, how are you mentoring them? Like, are you mentoring these kids as they come in? Like, how is your faith at this point in your career?
So halfway through college at this point, we had directed team chaplains and captains as well. And so I had been a chaplain for a year and had been a captain for 3 years at that time. And so throughout the course of, I would say, this second half of my career, not even the second half, again, I'm a firm believer in, you know, you can be, you know, leading groups or doing whatever, even if you are a freshman. But for the sake of this, you know, the second half being an upperclassman, you know, I didn't choose the most glamorous baseball program to, you know, join as well. We've always been bottom of the conference, things like that. And so, like, for me and my class that came through, we were on the rise of trying to make the program better. And making the program better is not necessarily something that is directly related to wins and losses. Mm. So we had a reputation on campus that was not good as well. And so me and, you know, the leadership on our team, you know, we would always try and mentor the new kids and say, hey, you know, like, this is college now, and so it doesn't matter what college you go to, you're gonna have to deal with things like the party scene, the drinking, the girls, the you know, drugs. I mean, that's absolutely everywhere. So trying to make sure that they stayed on track and trying to do things together as a team, trying to have discipleship groups, trying to have things like that, were things that we had used throughout my career to just really kind of get us to step out of our busy, crazy schedule and create that transparency and community, a lot like what I had experienced in high school. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that's, you know, and college is so different from high school, whereas you were spending all of your time together with your team. You were with your teammates in the weight room. A lot of you are in the same classes. You live together. So there's a lot. And so while my class and my team, my last 2 years, were being some of the more successful programs at CCU, I definitely think people would also say that we were also probably one of the tightest knit groups of individuals, and we still are to this day. And so you're dealing with more real world issues in college. Like I said, you have the freedom to do virtually whatever you want. And so staying together and creating that camaraderie and trying to create that healthy community of talking about your problems and your issues. And because at this point, you start understanding why some of your teammates act the way they do, whether it's because of an upbringing or something that they've gone through, things like that. I mean, you're far more developed in college than, you know, in high school, of course, but I think for me, the biggest thing was just taking the time to learn everyone's story, learn about them. Why do they act the way that they do?
what helps them perform, you know, things like that. And that's just out of sheer sincerity that I think every teammate should do. You should know and have genuine care about the lives of your teammates. And so as I got older, that was something that I strive to do. And when you're a senior in college, you know what it's like to be a freshman, how scary it is. And like, I know what I had to experience, and it wasn't fun. And at times. And so even now, cause I still go back and I still help coach at CCU at, like I still go to the freshmen and say, hey, you know, like, here's my number. Like, I get it. There's times on campus where like you miss home. It's okay. Like, you miss your parents. That's all right. Like, you miss your girlfriend. I did long distance for a year or two. Like, I get it. So if you want to just call and chat, give me a call. So I think creating just that open line of communication and transparency was something that was huge and eventually led into faith-based talks and things like that. So,
yeah, that's great, man. Like, I think about even some programs where, you know, it's all about trying to get to the next level or to be noticed. And the fact that you and some of your teammates had the goal in mind to want to build relationship and to bring people closer just proves, you know, that you guys were different than other programs. Cause a lot of times you hear in programs that teams aren't like that because they don't want to be passed up. They don't want to, you know, they want to be the ones who are, you know, not losing their spots. And so they don't want to get close and build relationships with those people because they don't want to, you know, lose spots to them or for whatever reason, or tell them the inside tracks of how to, you know, not get into trouble or, you know, whatever that might look like. But yeah, talk about a little bit, cause I think you just touched on a little bit, but you know, how's your faith at this moment? How's your faith going through college as you go through there? You know, you talked a little bit about, you know, some mentoring things, like what did you do during your time? Like, how did you mentor some of your athletes or some of your teammates for that matter? You know, walking through, you know, church, like going to church, taking teammates to church, Bible studies, anything like that you were going through as an upperclassman.
So the first thing was, and what was really nice was we had a church like just like 5 minutes away from campus that had a young adult service that like pretty much all the college students went to. And it was, in my opinion, like for bringing in people that have never been to church or had this like perception of church being traditional or like what we had grown up in, and like, you know, very stand up, sit down-ish, ritualistic, I guess you could say. This church was great. It had an awesome live band. It's Red Rocks Church. I mean, they have their stuff on like, you know, Spotify and stuff now. I mean, they jam their worship. I mean, it, whether you're a Christian or not, like it shakes your soul. But they, that was the first thing, was trying to get people to go to that young adult service. We would have it on Thursday nights. So like at CCU, there's no classes on Fridays ever. So Monday through Thursday, you know, homework was really never an excuse. We would try and just get everybody and invite everyone to go to young adult services on Thursday nights. And that was usually the first thing. And we already had majority of our team going, or at least a lot of like the main upperclassmen going, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, even if you have one or two guys that are like the guys, if they're there, yeah, freshmen and sophomores, like they're going to come there and follow. And we got to a point where we were filling up like a couple pews of people. And it was just like, it was fun. Like it was just one of the purest, most fun spiritual moments. Like at the end of a week, whether it's school, whether it's something on your heart, just, it was just a good time. It was a great time of worship, a very, you know, condemning message. It really allowed you to be broken down, and if you wanted to fight it, you really couldn't. So and it was great, cause that really opened the door for us to have conversations with our teammates. Like, hey, I saw, you know, you breaking down, or I saw you praying a little extra longer. Like, is there anything like you want to talk about that I can pray for you for? Things like that. So that was probably the main thing that we had liked to use on top of, you know, church on Sundays. Cause that kind of felt like our service, and it was a great way to wrap up the week after practices and school and classes. in the midst of that too, while being a team chaplain, we would have meetings at night at some point of the week, just going over things. Mostly I liked going over things like leadership values, things like that. And because those are obviously super, super easy to tie into our faith and things like that. And I know now, the team that we have currently, being on the other side as a coaching staff, one of our coaches, Andrew Liberty, he's hosting a leadership class at nights for people that's completely optional. But in order for the teammates to enter into it, you have to just send him and send us a email saying, you know, why you want to be a part of this.
That's good.
There's no right or wrong answer. It's just, why do you want to come? And so he's going to be heading that, but I'm really excited for that and to see how that works. Cause obviously there's a lot of things that are faith intertwined, and it's more so a development of your manhood and your faith in Christ and, you know, everything else. Being out of the Christian university, it's, you know, you have your chapels twice a week, you have your Bible classes. And so for me, that was a very normal thing that helped me stay connected to my faith as well. But those were the main things.
Yeah. So Jared, as you're coming through as a captain and obviously seeing new kids come through the program as an upperclassman and new freshmen come in, or maybe even transfer students, there's obviously probably teammates that you have that were not, you know, Christ followers, even though, you know, quote unquote, you went to a Christian school, being a Christian college, being, you know, Colorado Christian University. But were you able to have conversations with those non-Christian teammates with you? How were you able to have organic things with them? How were they? Were they respectful to that? Were they open to wanting to know about faith? How was that with, you know, dealing with that as a chaplain and then also a captain as well?
Mm-hmm. So you're always going to have guys that, a baseball roster is roughly 40 people. And so you're always going to have guys that are from one end of the spectrum to the other. So you're going to have guys that are opening to listening. You're going to have guys that are completely, tuned out or tuned off. But, first and foremost, I think the first thing with getting through is just loving on them again, through your actions, showing interest in them, wanting to learn about them. And that can take a lot of time. It really can. But I did have a couple of my really close friends, and they're still my close friends to this day. They were a couple of junior college transfers, and they've been going to church with me. They were a lot like me, where they were raised in the Catholic Church. They kind of wanted to learn about faith, but just didn't. The pieces just weren't quite connecting, I guess. God has to reveal himself to, an individual however he wants or needs to, right? That's part of special revelation. And so they just quite hadn't experienced that yet. But we had a night when we were studying for finals in our academic building, and we were just studying, and there was the three of us, there was no one else left. It was super late at night, and I remember we had kind of gotten on the topic just talking about our faith. I forget how it got brought up, but we were talking about faith and accepting Christ and just how good the school has been and things like that, and just how blessed they were, and how it's crazy how God had navigated these two to be at where they were now at Colorado Christian. And so in the heat of that moment, we were just talking very surface level about faith and all that, and there was all of a sudden this heaviness in the room, I will never be able to describe what kind of feeling that was. And, I now know that it was, I knew at the time too, it was the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit had just weighed down on all three of us so much. And I literally just kind of blurted out and was like, do you guys just want to fully commit? Do you guys want to, give yourselves to Christ and just do this? Cause I'm feeling something right now for you guys. And they were like, we are too. They're like, so that was a very, straightforward, God moment. And at that point, those two had accepted Christ, and it was probably one of the more incredible experiences at CCU that I had had. And so those were a couple of the ones that I won't forget. And what's funny about one of those guys, talk about God having a plan. One of those guys who had accepted Christ, I had known him through my ex-girlfriend at the time. My junior year of high school. And I looked up to him because he was a baseball guy. And that was how I'd met him. And when I was trying to make my college decision on CCU or going junior college, I had called him and I said, "Hey, Pete, you know, like, what do you think, man? Like, you're in junior college right now. Like, you know, like, what do you think?" And he was like, "You should go to CCU. You totally should." And so I thought of his, you know, opinion and everything like that. I held that pretty high. And so, like, I ended up going to CCU. And then you fast forward 5 more years and he's now, you know, at CCU playing with me and just accepted Christ in that moment.
Dude, that's such a cool story. And honestly, you know, we get into those situations where, even for myself, you know, in the situation that I, you know, working with kids and students, and, you know, you kind of get to that moment where, you know, you feel that the Holy Spirit's just saying, like, hey, like, they just ask them the question.
Yeah.
The fact that you had the boldness and the confidence enough to just say that to those guys, just shows the fact that, like, you know, your journey through this whole process that God is leading you up to from such a young age, you know, through the Catholic Church and upbringing to moving to a Christian school, like understanding what it means to be a Christian, you know, and then, you know, moving forward in your relationship with Christ and having those people around you, you're able to have that spiritual maturity enough to discern that at this moment, like, I'm just gonna ask the question. And there's many times, well, I shouldn't say many times, but there have been some times in my life, like, where I've kind of felt that, but, you know, in my own flesh, we're like, yeah, it's not the right moment. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, it's uncomfortable. It's like, I shouldn't do it at this moment. But, that's just an amazing story for me. When you've told me that, you know, before, and, you know, and I thought it was amazing. You told me that now, and I still think that's so cool how God just used you in that moment, in that time. And you just knew in that time and place to be able to do that. And I commend you for that.
I appreciate it. It's, I encourage people, and I know we all know that feeling when we have to make a decision and it's the Holy Spirit that's like sitting there next to us or within us. That's like, hey, I think you should go help this person, or hey, I think you should go talk to this person. And we, you know, we're given the option of doing one or the other. That moment was a little easier, I would say, because they were at that point, they're like my two close friends and there was no one else around. The circumstances were perfect, but, you know, that's God's timing. God's timing is perfect. But I think the one thing to take away from that is just, like, allow God to work, allow God to do his thing. And if you're feeling that knocking on your heart or in your gut that, you know, you need to speak up or you just need to ask, just trust it and just trust that, like, God will work through it. I mean, Moses had a stutter. like if there was somebody who had every reason to not get up in front of people and not speak because of, you know, being insecure with his voice, I mean, it was him. Yet, I think that's incredible. But you just have to trust it. And that's something that, I mean, I still go through things where, like, I wish I would talk to certain people, or, oh, I should have brought it up here. Yeah. I mean, that was just a cool example of, you know, when you get that niche or that feeling, man, just you have to go for it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Jerry, you know, finish up your career at Colorado Christian College. And were there any inklings to, like, want to try to, you know, play professionally? Like, you just knew that it was time to hang it up, or, like, what, like, how is that moving forward? Like, how did the chapter of baseball kind of get closed out for you, as far as your playing days are concerned?
Yeah. So I, you know, it became a lifestyle for me that I, you know, I wanted to play and I wanted to keep going. And granted, I was playing at a Division II level in Colorado. So, you know, my offensive numbers were good or very good, but it's because with the altitude and, you know, all the other things that get thrown into play. My arm had never truly developed to be what it was. So I knew not having an arm would kind of prohibit me from making that next leap to, you know, to the next level. But just like in high school and like at the start of my college career, it was, you know, like I'll go until I, you know, someone tells me to stop or I don't get word. And so I made a little bit of noise my junior year specifically. I had hit over 400 and had done some cool things there. And then, you know, along with my senior year, I had some people come out and watch. But, you know, the constant theme was, and the reality was that guys at the next level, outfielders they have all five tools. They can, you know, they had arms. And if they wanted to put me at first base at the next level, that would probably be my only option. Yet, first baseman at the professional level are, you know, 6'4", 6'3", 6'2". And they're big guys. They're big boys. They're not. I mean, I was playing center field at 6'2", but in order to be first base at the next level, you have to be a big boy. So I kind of saw that. We had some scouting days and things like that come up, and some of my buddies had, you know, mentioned things that scouts were saying about me. And while there were some, you know, glimpses of, you know, hopefully something good, I kind of just accepted that realization, you know, like it's time to move forward. What else does God have? I had no regrets with my career and I was happy to, you know, move forward. And I mean, like anyone would miss playing their sport, but I don't wake up every morning and I don't sit there and dwell on it, which is nice.
Yeah, that's so good, man.
But out of college, I got into roofing. So I graduated with a business degree and a master's in organizational leadership. And so I worked with a corporate roofing distribution company, had worked my way up a little bit there, and then started doing commercial sales for a roofing company. And all the while I was staying intact through social media with a fitness page that I had made. And basically, you know, a lot of the success that I had in college was due to hard work in the weight room, and I saw the confidence that it gave me. And so now with people, especially that I know post-college or just anybody, I know the struggle of having to get into the weight room or trying to live a healthy fitness lifestyle. And so that's currently what I do now. And it's something that, again, is pretty heavy on my heart and it's my passion. And I love celebrating other people's victories when they can realize that they can run through a wall or they can attack certain obstacles. And so I absolutely love that. So I do that. I help people online program and with diets and nutrition online. And then in addition, as I said in the beginning, I'm a general manager of a new gym in downtown Denver, that I'm very excited about. So, I don't know, just want to keep helping people, you know, I just want to keep doing that. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Dude, that's awesome. And from a personal standpoint, just, you know, meeting you many years ago, 14 years ago, I think it was, like, you know, coming in the gym at this third period PE, man, and this little kid named Jerry Gallegos, and kind of seeing and you know, keeping in touch with you throughout the years and just kind of seeing your process and your growth, not only just physically, from a young boy to a man, but also just spiritually, and just seeing you grow. Just very blessed to be, you know, to see that firsthand of you, and just super proud of, like, what you're doing, like where you're going, where you know, where your passions are at, where your head's at, and the fact that you are walking with the Lord and you know, continuing to share your story with other people. I'm just glad and blessed to call you a friend, you know, to be honest with you. So yeah, appreciate your time coming on today, man.
Well, likewise, I'm glad we've been able to stay in touch, and it's, I love that you're still doing what you're doing and helping people out, just like you had helped me at a very early age. So as you've heard me say, you know, I attest a lot of my foundation and stuff to just little things like what we used to do, just little Bible studies before your school started, things like that. So, you know, keep up the good work that you're doing too, because it's going to help in the long run for sure. So
thanks, man. Appreciate that. Well, hey guys, thank you for listening to episode 7 of the Faith and Field podcast with Jerry Gallegos. If you want, check him out on Instagram at JG_fitness5. So go check him out. Shoot him a DM, you know, ask him questions about fitness programs. He'll help you out. You know, he's got a great page there. You know, he'll respond to you. He's kind of helped me out with some things. If you got issues about not going to the gym, he's very resourceful to be able to help you out with that. And or if you need just spiritual questions or growth or ways you can involve that into your fitness program, he can help you with that as well. But anyway, Jerry, thank you for coming on, man. We'll be in touch really soon, and God bless you, man.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Cool.